listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
To a department store or grocery store lately, and I know you have, you've heard the bell ringing outside. Sometimes you quickly hurry past that person with the red kettle because you don't have any change in your pocket or because you're on a mission to get the eggs and the milk and whatever else you need when you're going in there. Sometimes you stop and you drop a little money in there. It's the Salvation Army, at least the way most of us see and hear the Salvation Army. What is the Salvation Army? They have that word salvation in their title. Is it a Christian organization? Is it a church? Where did it come from? Why was it founded? And if it is a Christian organization, what does it teach? What does it not teach? We're going to be talking about the Salvation Army. Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College and co-author of the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cults, Sects, and World Religions. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me again.
Before we get into some details about the who, what, when, and where on the Salvation Army, does the Salvation Army, through its fundraising, do some real civil good in the world?
Yes, I would think very much so, because it's very much involved and engaged in social welfare activities, charity, or whatever we may want to call it. In fact, that's really how it began. And we see this, for example, in Salvation Army thrift stores that are in many, many locations where people bring clothing to them. I have given donations myself. When we moved a few years ago from Illinois, we gave a number of things to the Salvation Army, not just clothes, but certain other household items. And they're very eager to receive it, and they dispense it and give it to people. That's very much a civic service. And I think many people may not know much about Salvation Army, but I think foremost in their mind that they are kind of aware of, that they are doing things for the people who are, many cases, in poverty level or in other kind of financial straits. So, yes, I would say that in its... Well, and for example, let's not forget our Christmas season when they have the bell ringers in front of the stores with their red kettles. That's another civil service by all means. And by the way, that was started in Crystal Lake, Illinois. So it's basically an American phenomenon and hasn't spread to every other country. And I might also mention that Salvation Army is found in 120 different countries. So they have a broad expanse and are highly respected in terms of their organizational efficiency, their basic structure all around. Nobody, as I know of, really badmouths them.
Then where did they come from? Who founded the Salvation
Army? Yeah, that's a good question. And founded back in the 1865. But before that, there was a man by the name of William Booth, who, by the way, did found them in 1865. He, at the early age of 15, had a conversion experience, as he called it, and he began to be a revivalist preacher in East London. This is where he was born, in Nottingham, but basically then moved to London, in East London, which was the poverty slum area of London at that time already. And then at age 33, he joined the Methodist Church in the meantime. At age 33, he left the Methodist to evangelize the poor. And then in 1865, he started a Christian mission that he, a few years later, renamed Salvation Army. And it wanted to adopt the term of Salvation Army, in other words, soldiers of Christ, who would go out and serve the downtrodden. And his first people that he served were prostitutes, drug addicts, alcoholics, really the down and outers. He wanted to bring, in his opinion, the Christian gospel message to them, and he did. But he also provided them, for example, food and drink. In fact, the Salvation Army has often been known for the three S's, soup, soap, and salvation. And that was basically the founding plank of his particular organization. And then a few years later, it moved, for example, to the United States and to other countries. And it's still, like I said, present now in 120 countries, engaged in Christian charity for the most part. Theologically, they are a very different kind of breed, so to speak. You may want to talk about that, but theologically, they are quite different.
Before we get to the theology, you have often in our conversations talked about the positive influence that kind of a Christian worldview has had in civilization from the very beginning. Would you categorize the Salvation Army as one of those organizations that can demonstrate that the Christian worldview benefits society, actually furthers society, and at least
yes,
in the sense of
seeking? Yes, very much so. And in some ways, we probably don't often think of it. And I'm probably a little bit remiss. When I wrote the book of Christianity Changed the World, I didn't really zero in on the Salvation Army. I could have added it, I guess. But the publisher didn't want me to write even 450 pages as we did. So ultimately, you cut corners and you don't do it. Yes, definitely. They are part of the Christian message that has changed the world for the positive.
Then let's talk about its theology. How does the Salvation Army differ from other churches theologically?
They differ in a number of ways. They are very much Christ-centered. They talk a lot about Jesus Christ and salvation, so on and so forth. But very interestingly, they do not practice baptism, and they do not have communion, which makes them very, very different from other Christians. And it's kind of interesting. They have a handbook. It's about 300 pages where they spell out all of their activities, their doctrines, their beliefs. And it's interesting that they uphold the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. And they will argue, for example, or do argue in print and writing, that these creeds were written to defend and uphold biblical teachings. Yet, ironically, they do not practice baptism and the Lord's Supper, which is sort of, what do you want to call it, an anomaly? It's certainly not consistent with their saying that, and in agreement with the three ecumenical creeds, because as you and I know, for example, particularly the Nicene Creed, talks about baptism for the acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, which is an exact quote from the creed. They don't hold to that. Instead, they, on the other hand, they do make quite a bit about sacraments, but sacraments are defined extremely different than what you and I or most Christians would think. Sacraments are basically those activities, the social gatherings that people have, and celebrate wedding celebrations, celebrate other events that people come together, even we'll say love feasts, and list about 10 different items. That is to them a sacrament, and the real sacrament is the fact that they believe in Christ. So they have a really different definition of sacrament that departs a great deal from traditional historic Christianity. They also, interestingly, will cite Ephesians 4:5, you know, where it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They have no problem with that passage, yet at the same time, they don't practice baptism. So it's an interesting organization in that regard.
They would fall outside the mainstream of Orthodox Christianity with respect to those things. How would you answer someone who says, are they a Christian church?
That's a very good question, and it's one that I've asked myself many, many times. I would say yes, probably. I can't quite dogmatically, unequivocally say that they're not, because they do preach Jesus Christ, they do confess him, they do believe in human beings being sinful and that they need salvation. So I may be faulted by some people for saying that they are a Christian church, but in a very, very different one. Their church services are somewhat similar to other church services. They have a sermon, and usually music. A lot of times they have bands. They've been great promoters of using bands in their music. They dress in the uniform, yes, all Salvation Army people, as most of us probably have seen them, wear a uniform. And they don't call themselves Christians as such, but anyone who is a member of the Salvation Army is a soldier. And then you have the top-ranking individual internationally is located in London, and he is called a general. And then you have other individuals that use military ranks in conformity with their uniform, which is sort of paramilitary, if you will. And so, again, this is to underscore that they're soldiers of Christ to serve the people who the rest of the world, and they would probably say, they don't put it in print, but think that the other Christian churches are often neglected and failed to serve them with the gospel. That's how they would probably put it.
We're talking about the Salvation Army. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. When we come back, what means of charity does the Salvation Army employ? We have 3 weeks left in 2017, and we need $75,000 to cover our projected expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2017.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This Christmas, bring your family and friends to experience a reenactment of the Christmas story and Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Enjoy a live nativity, warm drinks and cookies, and live music performed by student groups.
From 5 to 8 p.m. on December 22nd, come to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, to enjoy this Christmas experience for all ages.
Admission is free, and when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a custom piece of art made by our students.
For more information,
call 618-656-0044.
Merry Christmas!
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Salvation Army. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and also co-author of the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cults, Sex, and World Religion. So be with us for just about another 10 minutes here, and then in hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to do part 11 of our series on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism. We're going to take up the touchy subject of self-esteem, teaching your children self-esteem. How do you do it, especially given the fact that we have an entire generation that has been taught self-esteem and, well, can't seem to handle life? Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest for that. Then Pastor Christopher Jackson has recently written a column for First Things titled Luther's Purgatory. He argues that Luther did believe in purgatory, just not the way that the Roman Catholic Church taught it. We'll talk with him about that in the last few minutes of the program. Dr. Schmidt, what means of charity does the Salvation Army employ?
Well, as I mentioned a little while ago, there are thrift stores, for example, where you donate clothing and they will give it to certain people that need it. You know, you could stop by at any particular Salvation Army thrift store and there are always people there taking clothes, people bringing clothes, donating it. And in addition to that, other household items as well. And of course, they have in recent years built a lot of recreational exercise buildings and activities. A few years ago, the wife of Ray Kroc, basically the founder of McDonald's, donated $1.6 billion, if my memory doesn't fail me, to them, and they have made tremendously good use of it in building certain very up-to-date, attractive buildings that offer exercise building and other kinds of opportunities for people to come and enjoy themselves. And so that's another item of charity, if you will, that we often perhaps don't quite realize or think about. And then, as I said a little while ago, they're great kettles at Christmas. You hear them, you and I see them all over. That's been a big boon in many ways, for collecting funds again for how they distribute all their organizational charity activities. They're basically a Christian charity organization. And in many ways, they perhaps are to be envied by other Christian denominations that don't put that much emphasis on charity anymore.
Then what do most people, what's their perception of the Salvation Army?
I think for the most part, their perception is that they're a charity, a good organization, but most people don't know much about them, at least from what I've over the years experienced. I remember being a member of Rotary Club in Illinois for about 19 years, and we had one or two that would join it. But again, most people see them as upright citizens given to helping society, don't necessarily, in my circulation of people, see them quite in the same context of most churches. And to some extent, that perception is not completely wrong. Because as I said, they don't build churches with spires on them. They're usually a one-story building, often hidden in certain part of the city, and often not in the best part of the city. So they're not even the churches aren't all that visible. And so again, people tend not to see them primarily as a Christian organization that is engaged in charity. They are engaged in charity, they know that, but how much they see them as a Christian denomination, if you will, I don't think that's all that prominent in the perception of most people.
Finally then, Dr. Schmidt, should a Christian have any qualms of conscience by putting a $10 bill in the ringer's bucket or sending in a check to the Salvation Army when they do their television fundraising? Should that?
I would say no. In fact, my wife and I often give money to civic organizations because they're good charity and they may not even be a Christian organization. And I would have no qualms and have no qualms of giving some money to the Salvation Army, which we as Lutherans would often call cooperating and supporting in externals, which is very compatible, I think, basically with love your neighbor and giving him a cup of cold water, as Jesus says. And if you don't give it to him, you're not giving it to Jesus himself. So I have no qualms with it, and I would encourage people to support the Salvation Army charity efforts. Like I mentioned a while ago, when we moved from Illinois, we contributed a tremendous amount of household items, televisions and other kinds of things that we felt, well, what else are we going to do? So we give it to them. Well, again, maybe you didn't write a check, but we did something equivalent.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, co-author of the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cults, Sects, and World Religions. When you purchase this resource using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cult, Sex, and World Religions by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Dr. Schmidt, thank you.
Thank you.